Did everybody have a good Christmas? It's exciting, Christmas. Each year, we get to be reminded that the Savior came. It's like the point of everybody's Christmas sermon last week. Unto us a child is born. Yes, and we reflect on that. He left heaven and came. We reflect on a baby in a manger. Sweet, precious baby Jesus, shaking and baking. It's just hard to not picture him as that. We'll say, what child is this? And we'll sing it, and there's nobody like this Jesus. But there is something that we almost never think about, and it crosses my mind every year after Christmas, and that is this. Up on the screen, he is only coming in a manger once. The next time that he comes, it won't be so subtle. You could have missed it when he came the first time. You could have been sleeping. You could have not seen the star. But it won't be so subtle the next time he comes. I think about this. The first time that he came to earth, it was to make terms of peace. First time he came, it was to give his life as a ransom. That means to offer his life in exchange for ours. That's glorious, but it's not going to be so the second time he comes. The second time he comes, I'm not making this up, he's coming in flaming fire with the glory of his angels. He is coming to dominate and to inflict vengeance on those who refuse the gospel. Now, I know we'd much rather hear the Christmas story. I know that. But I think we start to get lopsided on our views of Jesus. And everyone gets a view of Jesus that's a little out of balance, like a wheel that wouldn't roll. And I think often we have a view of him that is too weak. I hung that picture up there with the silhouette of Jesus and a lion because my entire childhood growing up, Jesus was weak. He couldn't help but being nailed to a cross, and that is not the Jesus I found in Scripture. So let me just give you a couple passages. 2 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 1, verse 7. This is what's going to happen. He's going to come to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now there's going to be two groups of people. That's one group. And what's going to happen to them? Verse 9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's one group. Second group, verse 10. And when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints, and that's all believers, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony was believed. Now it's tempting, and I admit this, to just focus on the parts of Jesus that we like. That's very tempting. Like, you guys get to select what parts of you put out on social media. But that's really not you. People who know you best know that that's not you. I'll save my stories for later. Actually, I'll just tell it. They don't live here. They don't even live in this state, okay? But they call me for marriage counseling because I did their wedding. And over and over and over again. I hope they're not watching. Maybe they are. But anyways, I can have conversations with them on the phone where they hate each other and they're ready to kill each other. And then, not kidding, like hours later on Facebook, they'll put something like, oh, my sweet dear honey just cooked me supper. I'm like, you liars! Why don't you put the real truth out there? This is why I don't have Facebook. It would be bad. It's tempting to focus on just the parts of Jesus that we like and not get the full picture, but we don't get to refashion Jesus by our liking. Jesus refashions our views of him by what he declares. So last week, we got to talk about Jesus fulfilling 351 predictions in his earthly life. From the womb to the tomb, astounding. There's nobody like that. Nobody in all the odds of all the universe could do that unless he's God. When the Bible was written, 27% of your Bible was predicting the future. It was prophecy. No other book like it. And most of that 27% has already been fulfilled. And they nailed it to a T. Exact. Like he's going to come in riding on a donkey. No, let me be more specific. A colt, a foal of a donkey. And he did it. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be nailed to a cross. This is exactly what's going to happen. But did you know that there are over 200 predictions about his second coming that have yet to be fulfilled? And just as the first prophecies, there's 1,817 of them total, they didn't miss one without a hiccup. Not one of the prophecies, predictions about his second coming will fail. Let me just give you a few examples straight out of the horse's mouth. Jesus' own words in Matthew 25, 31. He says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." Verse 32, "Before him will be gathered all the nations." It will happen just like that. "And he will separate people one from another, just like a shepherd separates sheep from goats." And we could just keep reading. But that hasn't happened yet. This is something that will happen. "But as surely as the first 351 prophecies were fulfilled, so will these be." Matthew 24, 37 through 39. "For as were the days of Noah," this is Jesus again, bringing back my old man Noah, "so will the coming of the Son of Man." So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Here's what happened. "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." That hasn't happened yet. Now, if you don't believe the flood story, just know that Jesus did. And quotes it and says, "I'm going to compare the story of Noah to my second coming." You guys cannot forget that Jesus is only coming as a baby in a manger one time. It won't be so subtle the second time he comes. Noah preached the gospel. He preached to turn from your sin and trust in God. He preached that God has provided a way to pass through the coming judgment. Just get on the boat. And nobody believed him, except the animals. I want a pet giraffe someday, all right? When you're 6'5", you like the tall animals. I got high blood pressure. They got high blood pressure. It's just things you pick up. But they didn't listen. And when the door was shut to the ark, it was too late. Don't miss this Christmas season. Up on the screen, he came the first time as a lamb to be led to the slaughter, as predicted, like a sheep before its shears is silent. He will come the second time, not as a lamb, but as a lion, roaring. You've got to get the full picture of Jesus. Nobody will be able to stop him. No one will be able to frustrate his plans and say to him, "What are you doing?" No one will be able to challenge his authority, and no one will be able to hold him back. He will judge with perfect justice. All those who were purchased by his blood will be in glory with him forever. Everyone else will be eternally damned. Now, this is so hard for me. because I try to preach every sermon as if it was the last time that you guys could hear me. Like, some of you could die next week. And I don't want to speak about this like, I'll see you again. You must repent and believe the gospel and turn to Christ while there's still time. And here's where I think we're lopsided. We all know the story of his first coming. And we think it's so cute. But do you know his second coming as well? Do you have the full picture of this Christ? When the fullness of time comes at the end of the age, Jesus Christ will bolt out of heaven on a white horse with his garments dripping in the blood of his enemies. I don't think he was joking when he wrote that. He will have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his robe and on his thigh. I think he'll have a tattoo. Who knows? He will have eyes like fire and a sword coming out of his mouth to judge the nations. It's not going to be so subtle the second time. Just if you guys were doing the New Testament reading plan in the month of December, we should have read all of Revelation. I read Revelation twice in the month of December, from chapter 1 to 22. And it really crossed my mind to do an overview sermon of Revelation for today, because Revelation is not what you think. Most of you think it's just apocalyptic imagery about strange things that you'll never understand. It's not that. Revelation's really simple. It is written to people who are suffering for their faith, and they need to know that Jesus wins in the end. That's it. And you can track through the whole book. There's only two categories of people: those who are with Christ and those who are without Christ. That's it. Even like the seals and the bowls and the trumpets, you know what they are? Some of them are so encouraging to me. The seventh seal is when God answers all the prayers that every saint has ever prayed, and he throws them on the earth. Like, that's encouraging if you take this faith serious. Anyways, I decided not to do a Revelation sermon. Maybe someday. But I didn't read Revelation because I watched the news. I didn't read it a second time because I wanted to try to fit pieces together. I read it because I wanted to know Christ better. The book is not titled Revelations on the End Times. The book is titled The Revelation, plural, singular, of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And this is so... Sorry. There's a spot in Revelation 14. I don't think you guys are ready for this. That the blood of his enemies will flow as a river 180 miles long and as high as the horse's bridle. 5 or 6 feet? I don't know. Who's a horse person in here? That's how they measured things back then. As high as a horse. Seneca to Kansas City is only 120 miles. You got to get the full picture of this Christ. When we come together to worship him on Sunday, it's not cute as a baby in a manger. If you only see Jesus in a manger, you don't have the whole story up on the screen. If you only see Jesus in a manger, you don't have the whole story. And here's what I mean. This is the last bit, and then we'll be done. Jesus in glory right now is extremely different than he was here on earth. From Revelation, John, the disciple, had spent 3 years with this Jesus, doing life together, doing ministry together. He was there. John was even in Jesus' inner circle of best friends. You didn't know Jesus had besties, did you? Peter, James, and John. And who does he pick for his best friends? James and John were brothers, and they had the nickname Sons of Thunder. Just some rowdy hillbillies, and then a big mouth fisherman. That was his three inner circle. You remember James and John? They're like, somebody offended Jesus, and do you know what James and John's first solution was? Should we just call down fire from heaven now, or should we give them some chance? That was literally how the story went. And then God transforms John's life so much that he becomes known as the Apostle of Love. But John gets to see Jesus in Revelation 1. He was very familiar with Jesus. He saw Jesus' crucifixion. He saw the miracles. He saw his resurrection. And he saw him go back up into heaven in Acts chapter 1. This John. Now this same John, 60 years later, sees Jesus in Revelation 1, and he falls on his face like a dead man because he's so majestic. Nothing like he was on earth. More glorious than John ever imagined or dared to dream. Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18. When I saw him, this is the same John, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. But he laid his hand on me and he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. Just so you know, you got the same Jesus, but I'm just a little bit more glorious. Next verse. I am the living one. You got the same Jesus. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now listen to this job description. I have the keys to death and Hades. What a resume. What a title. I am the first and the last. I was alive, I died, and I'm alive again. You got the same Jesus. I hold the keys to death and to Hades. Jesus is only coming in a manger once. He only come to make terms of peace once. Make peace with this Christ while there is still time, because at his second coming, it will be too late. Let's pray. God, may your presence be among us. I don't even know what that means. But may you help us to see Jesus for who he is right now, who he has revealed himself to be. Would you help us to see this Christmas season not as a time where we try really hard to remember you, but as a time where we are just blown away by your majesty. Would you give us more of you and less of this world that is so fleeting? We ask that you would be honored among your people, in your church, in a real way. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.